Welcome back, everybody, to the Armor God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew again here in our St. Colby studio. And today I have a very distinguished guest with us, filmmaker, film producer, film aficionado extraordinaire, Miss Anya Joseph is with us today. And she and her husband, Chuck Joseph, have produced a new film. Or concept, I guess. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning and get some information on where she has drawn some inspiration and how we as a pro-life community can help this endeavor. So, Miss Anya, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Of course, Tom. Thank you for having me.
So, give our listeners an introduction and a little bit of your background and how you got into the film world.
The way I got into the film world was really actually interesting. Our first little short film, my husband and I, was called Kayla's Choice, and it was a short film about the fact that 84 or so percent of all abortions are coerced. And at that time, it was in 2000, maybe 12 or so. We were running a very small local nonprofit. We were taking in homeless pregnant women and to keep them away from their abusers so they wouldn't have to kill their children. And at that time, we also produced that short little film about coerced abortion. And that film was picked up by an organization in Africa, in Uganda, called Africa Life Youth Foundation, and they took that little film that we made, and they took it all over Uganda to different villages and schools, and they would show it in the shacks in the jungles. It was crazy. What the Lord did with that little film was really interesting, and also that's how we started. But the way we got into this particular production was a little bit tragic. It was quite tragic, really. At the time we were running this little pro-life organization, obviously my parish in Elgin knew about it. Our deacon knew about it. And one day I got a call from my deacon, who also was a judge, a county judge. And he said, "Anya, you need to come into the church because there is a police officer here and he needs your help." And I was very shocked. I thought to myself, what can I possibly do to help a police officer? I don't understand what's going on. So my husband and I went into the church, and the police officer said that his wife decided to kill his child in an abortion, and he didn't know of any pro-lifers. We were the only pro-lifers he knew about, and he needed our help. So we found out which clinic that child was being taken to. We organized the prayer vigil. We did everything we could, and it didn't work. That woman killed this police officer's daughter. That police officer was also a retired U.S. Marine, and I don't know if you guys ever had a U.S. Marine cry on your shoulder. But I can tell you right now, it is one of the most gut-wrenching feelings anybody can have. Because that US Marine, that uniform, that represents the might of a nation. And to see that man crumble and lose hope was one of the worst feelings I have ever experienced after his child was assassinated in an abortion. And all the soldier wanted was to be the father to his blood. And that right was taken away from him by the country that he wanted to serve. And a few weeks later, after his baby's death, this US Marine said, "God has abandoned me." And he actually contemplated suicide. He put two guns to his head. He actually was thinking about which gun would accomplish the task in the most efficient way, he told us later on. So this film, the current film, Unmask the Devil, is inspired by those tragic events, and it follows the story of a fictional officer, Michael Peterson, who is an atheist police officer who begins experiencing disturbing demonic manifestations, which he mistakes for PTSD, after his family gets abducted by a human sacrifice cartel. And actually, I actually let Troy Newman, I'm sure everybody's familiar with Troy Newman, I let him read the feature script, the original screenplay. And this is the quote. This is how Troy Newman commented on that screenplay. A real nail biter, picked it up yesterday and could not set it down. Brutally truthful, very well put together plot line with twists that are both novel and riveting. Love the ending, love the analogies. Thank you for the honor. So that's how we started on the current production.
What a great story, and it's tragic that we have to use that scenario as a springboard to try and bring about some change and try and bring about some awareness. We were talking earlier, and I think that there's still a portion of the pro-life community, in fact, I know there is a still portion of the pro-life community that believes that the fight is over. And so why do we want to continue to make and bring this awareness right now?
That's a great question. And the fact is that the fight is not over, not even a little bit. Yes, maybe Roe v. Wade, quote unquote, was abolished and that decision was left to the states. But last time I checked, we are still the United States of America. And even if one state still practices child sacrifice, we are still under the condemnation and under God's judgment. And that brings me to a very interesting story from the Bible. And that's what the evildoers are hiding from us. They are hiding from us a very powerful black magic strategy that we are completely oblivious to. In the Second Kings chapter 3, the Lord promised to the king of Israel that he will be able to conquer some new land for himself. And he even told him, and this is a quote, "This is e an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town." So that's a great promise, right? If you are a warrior, if you want to conquer some new land for yourself, right? So that's
Great
exactly
help,
what
yeah.
the Yeah, so that's exactly what the king of Israel set out to do. He proceeded to conquer town after town after town until his army got to the city of Moab, where the Moabite king resided. And guess what happened? When the king of Moab saw that the battle had gone against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through to the king of Edom, but they failed. That's what the Bible says. And then he switched strategies. The Bible says then he took his firstborn son, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall. And the fury against Israel was great. They withdrew and returned to their own land. So if we look at this closely, at that biblical story closely, this tells us that child sacrifice is an offensive in the spirit world. It's a black magic offensive. So what happened? In order to prevent the army of Israel from taking his pagan city, the king of Moab did what? He engaged in child sacrifice. Was it some sort of ritual with black robes in a temple? No, it was in a public place. And what happened when the army of Israel witnessed the blood sacrifice? A great fury was unleashed against them. And it wasn't God's fury, because God already gave them the green light to go and conquer. It was the devil's fury, purchased by innocent blood. So what happened to the righteous warriors of Israel at that time? They left the battlefield and went back home. They abandoned the mission, they were neutralized, and their desire to fight was no longer with them. And that was accomplished by one child sacrifice to the devil. It neutralized and emasculated the entire army. So when the pro-life people in the pro-life movement say, "Oh, abortion is over. Maybe there's one abortion here and there. It's no big deal." It's the biggest of deals. That's a huge deal. In fact,
Amen.
I dug up some research from one of the church historians, and his name was Eusebius, if I'm pronouncing
Eusebius,
it right.
yeah.
And in his book, Life of Constantine, chapter 36, I think, book one, chapter 36. The title of that particular chapter is Magic Arts of Maxentius Against Constantine. And check out what it says. And I want, if you're pro-life, if you're listening, I want you to hear this very closely, because this is not over. That historian says, but the crowning point of the tyrant's wickedness was his having recourse to sorcery, sometimes for magic purposes, ripping up women with child, at other times searching into the bowels of newborn infants. He slew lions also and practiced certain horrid arts for evoking demons and averting the approaching war, hoping by these means to get the victory.
That ought to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. That, the Bible tells us, hey, the sacrifice of one child was enough to turn back an entire army, and it was still happening 500, 600, 700, 800 years later, post resurrection of Christ, in a time period when Christianity and Catholicism was not being persecuted as had been previously.
Yes, and in my opinion, I don't think the devil cares how the child sacrifice is performed. I don't think he cares if a child is murdered in an abortion. I don't think he cares if it's an airstrike against a school full of little schoolgirls, or if a child is tortured to death at some perverted guy's island for some billionaire's or politician's pleasure. I don't think the devil cares. As long as that child dies completely abandoned, with their dignity defiled, that is an acceptable sacrifice to the devil, in my opinion. And if you are an exorcist listening, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just a gut feeling I have. And so, with this film that we're trying to produce, Unmask the Devil, there are two major themes. Obviously, the suicide epidemic among our law enforcement and military, and the connection between political corruption and human sacrifice, because that still exists. That was not some isolated historical event that Eusebius was talking about. This still happens to this day. If you even looked at the Epstein files, you know what I'm talking about. And the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned, you know what? That's just like Pilate washing his hands from the
Yeah,
crucifixion of
that's a
Jesus.
great way to explain it. Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually. Yeah. So talk a little bit about the film itself. I don't want you to reveal any of it. Don't spoil any, don't give us any spoilers, but talk a little bit about the film itself.
Right, so the film is right now we have a proof of concept. So, in film terms, that means it is an asset produced by a film production company to show the general public and potential investors that we as a production company are capable of executing a project of this magnitude, as from assembling a crew, assembling cast, and executing the whole production on time, under budget, which we have accomplished, shooting this short 27-minute film in 5 locations, 9 days, and with actors from all over Texas coming to the auditions. So it was actually a great project to embark on. But now that this proof of concept is completed, you as a listener, if you're curious about what this looks like, you can actually go to www.unmaskthedevil.com and you can watch it. If you're a deacon or a priest, if you'd like for us to screen it for your parish, we can do that as well. And our goal is to not only hopefully and speaking of the goal, we are obviously discerning actively what the Lord wants us to do with this film. Obviously, every film producer wants their film to go national and be in every theater in the nation. But if the Lord wants us to impact just one parish, we will obviously go in that direction. His will be done, not ours. And that's how we are looking at it. I've been at this project for many, many years. He hasn't told me to give up yet. So, whichever direction he leads me, that's where I will go. But if you want to see it, first of all, the film is a little bit scary. Pray the St. Michael's prayer before you watch it, because it visually depicts the nature of spiritual warfare. And so, the feature film will also depict the the visually depict the nature of spiritual warfare. And that's what a lot of people still do not understand to this day, that when they are under the attack by the devil, that it is a struggle that that can be won, right? Obviously, you pray, you invoke the name of Jesus, you pray the Hail Mary, you pray your rosary, but it is a battle. And if any one of you ever had the spirit of suicide sit on your chest, the feeling is absolutely crushing. And we have to understand, we also want the message to get out that when somebody encounters these suicidal thoughts, we must know that not every thought in our head is our thought. There's three types of thoughts. It's my thought, God's thoughts, or it's straight from the devil. So if the, you know, obviously we want churches to be equipped in this way as well, to help their congregations, to help potentially wounded individuals who are coming for counseling, to know how to resist the devil, how to unmask him. So if any of your deacons or priests want to collaborate in educating your parishes on this matter, we would love to hear from you as well. So I'm going off on a tangent, so go
No,
ahead,
no,
Josh.
no. No, it's good. I was just going to say, I was fortunate enough to be involved in one of your pre-screenings the other night. First of all, thank you for the invitation. It was a different aspect, a different side of filmmaking than I've experienced before. So it was a pleasure to be involved in that role, in that piece of it. But I was really, and we got a chance to talk to you and Chuck afterwards, and I appreciate your willingness to listen to our immediate feedback, and I hope that serves you well, one, but two, I think what was it was like 35 minutes of your proof of concept film here, so it was relatively short, but the starkness, the power that the devil has over the pro-abortion community and world in general really comes through in the film. And I think it's one of those things that you guys have done well in depicting the starkness of that without going over the top with I'm using air quotes, the blood and guts that you see so often in secular films. I'll use the term slasher films, because that's not what this is about necessarily, but just the way you depicted the devil, and again, I'm trying to avoid being a spoiler in any shape, form, or fashion, but I thought that was very, very well done, and really enjoyed that aspect of the theme or the film itself. So I appreciate being involved in that very much. So, do you have plans now for additional screenings? Do you have anything else set up, or are you looking for us to help coordinate that with you?
That would be great if we could coordinate it with you. Perhaps if we could screen it at individual parishes, I think that would have the most impact. Because, to be honest with you, we're not marketing wizards. We don't really know how to pack a theater. So this is a skill that I'm still trying to learn. And I, you know, as a filmmaker, you're supposed to be selling, right? As a producer. And that is something that I'm still learning. Because obviously I want the Lord to open the right doors. I don't want to kick them open with my own will. So I have to balance that between promoting the film and listening to God. So whichever direction he wants us to go, that will be amazing. So you know, technically the film is in what's called testing of the waters phase. So if you go to our crowdfunding page at www.unmaskthedevil.com, there is an opportunity to place a non-binding reservation, right? It's basically saying, yeah, I could pledge some money behind that film. Obviously, non-contractually binding at all. This is just so the Securities and Exchange Commission can tell if this project can even be released for bigger advertising. So
So let me make sure I understand what you're asking then is what you're saying to folks is, hey, pledge $100, and when we can prove that to the film industry writ large that we've got a solid project, and when we can prove to Securities and Exchange Commission that we have a plan and a methodology for how we're going to pay for all this, then that's a big step in the direction of actually of this film actually taking life and hitting the silver screen, as it were.
Right, because that's when you're able to actually run ads like on Facebook and YouTube and advertise it to nationally to people so they can stand behind this film as well. And obviously those pledges on the crowdfunding page are non-binding. Once they reach a certain level, that's when you will have an opportunity to either fulfill on your pledge or withdraw from that pledge. And it's really, really simple. So that's one way. Right. So another way to support the film is if you are a business owner and if you align ideologically with the message of this film, you can sponsor the film. And businesses do it all the time for film productions, either through product placement or brand integration. It's a form of advertising for a business. Like, for example, this proof of concept we just made. We actually did have a business sponsor, Canyon Creek Construction sponsored it, and other businesses were involved too. Obviously, when you produce a film, you hire businesses for different things. We had to hire other businesses as well for electrical and transportation, things like that. So I always want to learn about different businesses in the area as well.
Yeah. So for any of our listeners out there who have a background in film marketing and want to get involved into a great project, go to unmaskthedevil.com. That's the kind of the page where you can find out more about the film itself. You can reach out to Anya and Chuck, and more importantly, you can make a pledge. If you own or are involved in one of these businesses and you'd like to help support the film, this is a great way to go do that and check that out. And unmaskthedevil.com is the place to go. So, Anya, kind of, what's do you have anything scheduled right now, as far as another screening or anything?
No, we don't have any screening
Okay.
scheduled yet. We're waiting for my husband to go on his summer break. He's a film production teacher, we're waiting for him to go on a break so we can.
Somebody's still gotta pay the bills, right?
Right, somebody has to pay the. I pay the
Ah, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm
bills too.
kidding. Well, thank you very much, Anya, for your time today. Folks, go to unmaskthedevil.com and get a screening in your parish. Let's be part of the groundswell of this great film, which I think has a great message and something that everyone needs to see. And everyone needs to be involved in. This is your opportunity to be involved in at the ground level of a great film, a great pro-life film. So, Anya, thank you very much for your time. Any final thoughts or words?
No, thank you again, Tom. This was such an amazing opportunity. We appreciate you. You're doing God's work. And just so I know, is your radio station available in Williamson County? Like, does it reach this area? It
It certainly
does?
does. It certainly
Oh,
does. On
wow.
1330 AM, you can pick us up down there, all the way down in Taylor and Hutto and Thrall and Thorndale, and all that area down there is covered by 1330 AM. So we have a great group of friends and donors, specifically in Taylor, but all over that part of the great Central Texas area. So,
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, I am in Thrall right outside of Taylor, so I will make sure to tune in
there you go.
Armor of God Catholic Radio. Wow, thank you so much.
All right. Well, God bless and thank you and good luck. Folks, go to unmaskthedevil.com. let's get involved. Let's be part of this this opportunity to bring a great pro-life movie to fruition. Anya, thank you very much. God bless you and your husband, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.